This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio brings you prescribed listening from our trusted contributors at the Ontario Pharmacists Association. Here is your guest host, Jane Brown.
All women go through it sooner or later, menopause. But it doesn't need to be an unpleasant experience. There is relief. And to help us with some solutions and take your questions, you can start calling now, 416-360-0740 or toll free, 1-866-744-740. Is Teresa Diaz, a certified menopause practitioner and our trusted contributor from the Ontario Pharmacists Association. Teresa, welcome.
Good morning.
Great to have you here for your debut with the Ontario Pharmacists Association. And this is the topic you have your expertise in.
That's correct.
Now, menopause and the way we think about it from when we were girls, it's not the curse that we were once told about that would kind of end our lives.
No, it isn't, but there's still a lot of unawareness about menopause. And what I found after working in pharmacy for 20 years is that most women are unprepared for menopause.
How do we prepare for menopause?
Education, information, making sure that you know when hormones start to change, and sometimes it starts in the late 40s, that you should expect a few things to change in your body, and if you are aware of those changes, it will be less scary and less surprising when you get them.
Let's talk about the changes that we can expect to, you say most women around their late 40s will start to feel different.
Yes, so estrogen and progesterone are the two most, important hormones during the menopause transition, and with decrease of estrogen, women in the 40s can start feeling, experiencing a regular period. So they will have heavier or lighter periods, shorter or longer. So that was sometimes the first symptom that they have, and that's called perimenopause, which is the years leading up to menopause when you finally stop having periods and you're no longer fertile. Mm-hmm. And menopause is usually in North America, the average age of menopause is 52, but hormone changes can start earlier. So it's good to know that what's happening may be a result of hormonal changes and not worry about other diseases. But it's always good to check with your doctor if you're starting to feel off or unwell. Check with the doctor to make sure that it is related to hormonal change and not something else.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Are all the symptoms hormone related?
Not all. That's why it's good to check. For example, one of the some of the symptoms that you get from menopause is fatigue and lack of energy, hair loss, dry skin, itchy skin, and those can also be symptoms of hypothyroidism, which is low thyroid. So if you're feeling fatigued with no energy and your hair is falling and you're worrying what could it be, it's better to check with your doctor to make sure that it is related to menopause or something else that can be treated.
It's a conversation, though, that's invited at your pharmacy as well.
Yes, you can always talk to the pharmacist about it if you have any questions, and not to forget that you should do your annual physical with your doctor so you're on top of your health.
416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. Do you have symptoms that you're wondering are related to menopause or maybe related to aging that you haven't had success in dealing with? It's affecting your life in a way that is not helpful as you age and is not helping you to live the best life. Well, now is the time to make that phone call. to ask the question of our trusted contributor here from the Ontario Pharmacists Association, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Let's talk specifically about some of the symptoms: drier skin, weight gain, discomfort during sex. Those are sort of some of the more common complaints, and hot flashes too, of course.
So most people recognize hot flashes and night sweats as being part of the menopause transition, and I use menopause as in perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. So those are the cardinal symptoms of menopause. But as you said, there are others that are associated with the decrease in hormones, and dry skin is one of them, and fatigue and lack of concentration and anxiety sometimes, because estrogen acts in many places in the body. There are receptors for estrogen pretty much everywhere: skin, brain, breasts, uterus, vagina, liver, heart. So there's a lot of places that when the estrogen starts decreasing will be affected, will change the way they normally function. So dry skin is a common experience during menopause, and could be accompanied by itching, and it can drive women crazy if it happens at night. Vaginal dryness is also a problem that may start in perimenopause. It tends to get worse after postmenopause, because then there's no estrogen at all. So as in hot flashes get better with time, vaginal dryness usually gets worse with time. And if women are having pain or itchiness or frequent bladder infections, UTIs, it's good to check with the doctor. There are things you can do. If you don't want to take oral hormones, you can apply vaginal creams or tablets to the vagina to help with those symptoms that are so localized.
So that could be a question you take to your pharmacist first, to see if there's anything over-the-counter
you can do. There are over-the-counter products you can use first. You can use lubricants during sex to increase lubrication and prevent pain. You can also use moisturizers 2 or 3 times a week. And you can ask your pharmacist to help you choose those from the shelf, because there are many options, and water-based and silicone-based are better options. And if those don't help and you need more, then you need to get to the doctor for a prescription.
Right. Now, and what about weight gain? You know, that's something I've noticed in my early 50s, that it used to be if I had 1,500 calories a day, I would slowly lose weight. 1,800 would maintain my weight. It's no longer like that. It seems like you have to eat less and less to maintain your weight.
It is a fact of menopause that even if women do not put on weight, the body shape tends to change, and they tend to get wider around the middle. So it's that muffin top kind of shape that we don't like at all. So you're right. And also with menopause, besides the fat distribution changing, you may experience less energy. So you feel less like going to the gym or going for a walk or exercising more to help burn those same calories that you put in. So the balance may be offset. Your calories that you put in may not be burned by your exercise, and you start accumulating weight.
But we see somebody like Jane Fonda, who has the exact same body she had when she was 25. So is that genetics, or is she doing something that we don't know about?
I don't know what a secret is, but I find that if you eat well, wholesome food, not
nothing processed.
Not processed.
Yeah.
Lots of fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds. I'm a big fan of Mediterranean diet. If you eat well, and if you eat low-calorie foods versus high-calorie foods, and you exercise, and it doesn't have to be pumping iron at the gym every day, between walking and swimming and cycling and even cleaning your house with a lot of energy is something that helps you burn calories and avoid weight gain. And I also like planks and things that are targeted to the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very careful with weight machines and all that, because if you don't have the proper posture, you can actually cause
You can
damage.
Injure yourself, yes.
So if you do a plank on the floor supporting your own weight, that's pretty much safe, but always check with your doctor to see if you can do certain kind of exercises. But keep active and eat healthy, and I think the weight should not be such a problem.
Joining us here on this Thursday, as they always do, Teresa Diash from our trusted contributors at the Ontario Pharmacists Association. And your calls, as always, 416-360-0740 or toll free 1-866-740-4740. Susan from Bob Cajun, the famous place where Gord Downie wrote a song about Bob Cajun. You have a question for us?
Yes. I'd like to ask how long a woman should be on hormone replacement therapy.
That's debatable, and everybody's different. But the saying used to be that you should be hormone therapy for the shortest amount of time. Now they have changed that. And it depends on the person. So if you are... Let's start with the beginning of HT. You should start... HT seems to be more beneficial than risky when you take it under the age of 60 and if you within 10 years of your last menstrual period. So if you start it that way, it seems to have less risks and most benefits. If you continue taking it after 60 and your health is fine and you haven't been diagnosed with any cancer or very high cholesterol or anything like that, and you're feeling well and it's working for you, you can continue, or you can lower the dose a bit and see if that still works for you. And there's no reason to stop unless you have a medical reason to stop it. There's no more fast rule. It's not one size fits all. It's all individualized. So if you're over 60 and you're taking HD and you're healthy and it's working for you, you can continue.
Susan, have you had success with HRT?
Yes, I have. excuse me. I had a total hysterectomy when I was 49, 50. And I immediately went on the doctor's prescribed pills for me, which didn't help me at all. I felt very horrible. So I knew a girlfriend of mine had taken the patch. So I suggested the patch to the doctor, and he said, okay, gave me a prescription, and it worked immediately within 24 hours. I was just feeling sort of not exactly my old self, but it took me about a year, I think, of this to really feel 100%. And I wanted it for a number of reasons, the hot flashes and everything that you've described already, but I find I'm weaning myself off slowly because I'm 72 and I've been on this for a long, long time.
Okay.
But I haven't found any side effects, bad side effects, and also my doctor seems to think it's okay for
well,
me
that's
and everything.
Wonderful.
Yes. And I have, and I get a, once a year, I get a physical, including a pap smear. I think a pap smear every 2 years or something like that. But there's nothing negative about HRT for me.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
a great story. It's really interesting.
You said you already lowered the dose, did you?
Just this week, I went for my physical a couple of weeks ago, and I had spoken to my doctor because I had gone to, I'll say Shoppers Drug Mart, okay, and I was interviewed by one of the pharmacists here in Bob Cajun, and she suggested, because I was on, I think it's five milligrams or something, and she suggested that I lower that to 2.5, mm-hmm. simply because I was getting big surges of the estradiol, estrogen, I should say. And then I was noticing a few days later, I was sort of starting to get hot flashes. And she said, if I lowered it, it would, it would last longer. So I'm just going to try that. Mm-hmm. I haven't started yet.
Okay.
I have the patch, but I haven't started it yet. But
That's
I will this week.
Good.
Okay.
That's very good.
All
good
right.
Luck.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
What's the difference between staying on the birth control pill through your early menopause years and going to HRT?
So the concentration, the amount of estrogen and progestin in the birth control is higher than the hormone therapy that you would get in menopause. And also the birth control, combined hormone contraceptive, has two ingredients, the estrogen and the progestin, which is usually synthetic progesterone. And when you go into hormone therapy, most people that take a progesterone, because if they have a uterus, they have to take the progesterone with the estrogen to prevent overgrowth of the lining of the uterus, they prefer to use a natural progesterone, like progesterone, versus a progestin, like in the combined oral contraception.
Which will provide forcing you to have a period.
Not necessarily. If you take it every day, if you take both things together every day, the estrogen and the progesterone, after a few months, you should not have any bleed anymore. So women prefer that instead of going back to periods. But if you want to have a period every month, you can take progesterone 12 days of the month and then have a bleed and then go on.
And that could continue into your later years even.
Yep.
Interesting. 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-744-740. Narissa in Mississauga, go ahead. Your question for our pharmacist.
Hi, I have gone through menopause already. I'm 71. I have never had to take any kind of medication or anything at all. I went through it. I didn't even know I went through it. I still have my parts. My question is, now I'm getting a hair growth on my lip and on my chin, and nobody seemed to know what I can do about it.
Oh, that sounds like it's hormone related.
That's usually, well, good for you that you never had any challenges from menopause.
None.
Not everybody does. Mm-hmm. Everybody reacts differently to hormone decrease, so you were one of the lucky ones. I was always told that with decrease of estrogen, the hair starts falling in places where it should and starts growing in places
where you don't want it.
So
yeah.
It's called rogue hairs, and chin and the upper lip are two of the most typical places they start growing on. Mm-hmm. My advice is get a nice pair of tweezers and keep pulling them off, because I don't think you have a reason to take hormones.
No, I don't. But the only thing with the tweezer stuff, it comes back the next day. Every day I have to pluck.
Well, the more you pull at them, won't the root collapse?
How long has it been like that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well.
But sorry. After menopause.
Yes. Right. That's because of the drop in estrogen. But if that, yeah.
Well, I don't know, if tweezers are the way to go, that's what you got to do, I guess. Thank you, Narissa.
Okay,
thanks for calling in. Okay, we need to take a quick break, and then we're right back with more of your calls on menopause with our trusted contributor from the Ontario Pharmacists Association, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740.
Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio brings you prescribed listening from our trusted contributors at the Ontario Pharmacists Association. Here is your guest host, Jane Brown.
We're talking about what all Zoomer women discuss with their friends, family members, girlfriend members mostly. Menopause, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-744-740, although men can be very responsive to, especially those in our lives who we love very much and who love us, are very responsive to these conversations and to making sure we're feeling good, as we want them to feel good too. All right, let's go to Valerie in Toronto. You have a question?
Hi, thank you very much for talking about this topic. My question would be, in particular, the night sweats. I'm just wondering, because I'm frequently awakened by them, okay? So that means, like, totally interrupted sleeps.
Mm.
And so I'm never having a full night's sleep. And so now it's just trying to endure my day with this sort of disruptive sleep. But the sweats, I'm just wondering, how is what is severe? What is normal? What is mid-normal?
Okay, great question. Teresa,
may I ask how old you are?
I am now 60. I started my menopause around 55 or 56.
Okay.
But it has, I've noticed the night sweats and also day sweats earlier, but it's right now the night sweats seem to be extremely intensified. So I don't know what's normal and what's not normal.
Well, yeah, how much sweat are we talking about?
It starts at clockwork. It starts at 9, and then 11, then 1, then 3, then 4, then 5:30, then 6, and then 7, and then it would stop for the day.
And when are you...
And then do the same cycle somewhere in between late afternoon, early evening.
And Valerie, are you soaked? You wake
Pardon?
Up. Are you? Do you wake up soaked like you're in a shower?
Soaking wet, like so volcanic heat, and my husband is freezing. So I'm throwing off the covers off of him while I'm throwing off the covers off, it's really really hot.
Yeah, no, we're laughing, but it's not funny.
Wet.
No,
like I'm drenched. Like you can take your hand and just go over my body, and it's drenched.
Wow. Okay, so let's start with a few. A few questions, if you don't mind.
Could you speak a little louder because I can't hear
sure.
you?
Sure. What is the temperature in your house during the night?
Normal. We turn it right down and all the windows are open.
Oh, my. Okay. So it is cool. How many blankets do you have on your bed?
Me? None.
Okay. All right. So we've done everything about that. Too much is too much when it disturbs your quality of life.
That's what I'm finding. It's just, I feel like I need...
Exactly.
For me, I'm worried about the sleep, the disruptive sleep.
Because when you don't sleep, you don't function properly during the day. If you have to go to work or do something important, you need your brain to be...
Yes. Again, could you speak louder? Because I can
sure.
barely hear you.
So what should Valerie do,
Valerie, in order to sleep, in order to get rid of the night sweats and help you sleep, you probably, since you've done all the other things I can think of, lowering the temperature, sleeping with no blankets and so on.
Ice packs beside the bed.
You may have to take, if you want, you can start on hormone therapy. Do you still have a uterus?
Yes.
Do you have any cancer?
Well, that was a problem. I'm on the fence with that because my sister just went through breast cancer, and it was an estrogen breast cancer, and she had to get a mastectomy. So it was an estrogen-fueled breast cancer, very aggressive. So I'm kind of nervous about that because of that.
You have to check with your doctor to see all your risk factors and to see if you're a good candidate for estrogen. But because the night sweats are so intense, I don't think any other non-estrogen medication would be very helpful in your case.
Okay.
There are a lot of things over the counter that are not proven to be very effective, so it's probably a big waste of your time and money to try them.
So it is the estrogen that's causing the sweating?
Yes, it sounds like the low estrogen of postmenopause or the decrease of estrogen is the one that's causing the night sweats. So night sweats are the same as hot flashes. They just happen during the night, during when you're sleeping. And if it's disrupting your quality of life so badly, I would check with a doctor to see if you don't have any risks, other risks that could keep you from taking estrogen. Because as I said before, if you take estrogen within and below 60 years of age and within 10 years of menopause, and you're just within 5 years of your last menstrual period, as you said, you're a good candidate for estrogen hormone therapy. But it depends on your overall health. So you should speak to your doctor
about it. Yeah, I'm pretty healthy. So I'm just wondering, is there a specific brand with this HRT estrogen?
You can. There's several ways of taking estrogen. You can take estrogen in a pill, a gel, a patch. But because you have a uterus, you will also have to take a progesterone along with it.
Progesterone. Okay, so you were saying the birth control, going back on the birth control pill, that's not necessarily because it has more of everything, right?
Exactly, and we're not trying to, we're not preventing contraception here. We're not trying to keep you from getting pregnant because you haven't ovulated in 5 years. So we're just trying to give you a little bit of estrogen so the night sweats can end and you can sleep and function properly.
Right. How long does this last? Do you know?
We used to say 3 to 5 years, and now we can tell that some women are still experiencing hot flashes for 10 years. And
it seems to have gotten worse.
Yeah, well, so it sounds like you need some
relief. You need to see your doctor, Valerie.
I need to see the doctor.
Yes,
okay.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks a lot.
And if we talk about this...
One last thing, about those natural products, like the Asian women seem to have the least symptoms. They're talking about sage and all this. Forget it.
You can try it. Again, ask your pharmacist. Tell your pharmacist your health history. Ask a pharmacist. Try it. If it works, fine. If it doesn't work, we'll have to go to something else. And don't forget that 50% of the effect is placebo effect. So if it doesn't harm you and it makes you feel good,
take it. Okay, Val, we got to go.
So I don't know what is, maybe I'm going to grow into it. Some new person, I don't know.
Well, listen, but if we talk about it again, please call us back. But we do have to go for now.
Okay, you have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Your issue provided us with a lot of discussion points about menopause, so that was great. I'm sorry for those of you who didn't get on. We will talk about this again. It's obviously a very popular topic with our Zoomer Radio listeners. Teresa Diaz, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Great debut from the Ontario Pharmacists Association. Thanks to Michelle Saunders and Myrna Trogerlich, Bob Komsic, and the news up next on Zoomer Radio.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.